When we go to a well, we know where the water comes from. And so we come here this morning and we know where the blessings come from. God being such an almighty God, even the Creator, is deserving of all honor, and we do well to honor Him. And as much as that honor does belong to Him, we shall then dedicate this day to Him and pray that He might bless us according to the needs of our souls. I go over to the book of Psalms, number 61. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform thy vows. We have opened to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, to whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. This I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? And where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. I've read 24 verses for now. We can always read more if we need to be. Dear ones, we read a word that was inspired by the Spirit of God, and we can sense here rather quickly that it really wasn't Paul's writing. He was inspired to read it, to write it, but it was the Spirit that taught him. He being a man of experience, and by the direction of that Spirit, he had established these several churches where men could come to find the salvation for their souls. We came here this morning, and we have to say this was the closest church we had to come to, and here we could find the eternal truth spoken, and a brotherhood who wants to live according to it. And that is no different than what the Apostle Paul here was referring to. And as he was addressing this church at Corinth, he first started out here by making mention that this Lord Jesus Christ was the access of our faith, both theirs and ours, he said. And I guess we have to say it's yours and ours. Likewise, we have access through this faith, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he it is who was sent by God himself to bring the gospel of truth and of salvation to the children of men, that there might be a way found for men who are living upon this earth and world and in this sinful and wicked place, where we might find a way to escape the destruction that's coming, and we all know it's coming. If none other, we're all going to die sooner or later, and I believe in the heart of each of us is that feeling and knowledge that we must give an account of every deed, every word, every idle word, the Bible says, and therefore it must needs be that we seek a rock that is higher than I. As we hear read in this psalm, hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. He is addressing the same Lord, God the Father, the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the same. Here he addresses this same Lord as the Apostle Paul addresses, as he addresses the Church of Corinth. And he says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And a lot of people don't understand what he meant by that. But I believe that the children of men who walk upon the earth and make experiences, they will find that place where they have come to the end of the earth, so to speak. Or they have come to their end, and there's nowhere but nowhere to turn. There's no place else to go. And then he says, when my heart is overwhelmed. And this is what happens when souls discover that there really is no place to go, And they have come to the end of the road, and where do they turn then? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So there is a place, and that place is the deliverer of our souls. But, you know, until a person really discovers this rock, he has to make the experience that he must rely upon that rock and depend upon that rock and go and come to that rock. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. And so these psalms, dear ones, they are just full of beautiful thoughts. We pray God will help us, that we, all of us, can cherish these beautiful thoughts, that they linger in our hearts. But notice here, this apostle was a great apostle. He was a man of great love. His heart was filled with the love of God, and he always, in all of his epistles that he wrote to the churches, he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There really isn't anything that we could wish one another that would be nicer or better than that. When we consider grace is the strength to overcome, and peace is that we have overcome, and we're living in peace and harmony with God the Father. That's the object of it all. And men everywhere would give anything if they could have peace with God, and they just simply can't find it. But the reason they can't find it is because they don't seek it with their whole heart, with their whole mind, and with all their strength, because if they did, they would find it. Oh, beloved, often have I thought of this, and how true it is. When God gave the commandment of old, he says, we shall serve the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And you know, he meant that. And I believe it's going to take that in order for us to find the salvation of our souls. Now he writes, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. So we see therein lies the secret of it all, and the blessings that are to be had. And dear ones, I have to say this for my very own self. I have to confess that I prayed to God as I sat here on the pulpit, that God would provide a blessing, I would be in need of it the most of any of you. And I know that this is so. And here he writes here that it is by this grace that he provides that we are enriched by him, and all utterance is given, and all knowledge and understanding is given by this same grace that God provides for us. So God is the provider, and then he deserves the honor, doesn't he? And we want to give it to him. How soon is it that here upon this earth that when someone does something that is noteworthy, we don't withhold honor. We hear the expressions given, give honor where honor is due. And that being so, let us remember then, let us give honor where honor is due. And God the Father is the one to whom honor is due. And God is the one who can provide that we might be overcomers. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is. Maybe some of our young people don't quite understand how an older person thinks. An older person begins to see the end and know that sooner or later the end is, shall we say, around the corner, and that end is not too far away. A younger person don't think that way. He has life ahead of him, and he has ambitions, that he might fulfill while he might see this or that here upon this earth. And this is the portion of a young person. But be it known, the end will come sooner or late, and the object is that we will have prepared ourselves. The best advice that we can receive is for our young people, that we seek this counsel of the Lord while we are young, that we might give the Lord a young body, one that is youthful, vigorous, and strong, one that is willing to serve the Lord while we are young. And while it is on the part of those of us who become older, we are glad for every year that we spent in serving the Lord. And we are thankful and pray that it might reach even then yet. So, beloved, may it be that our heart is a heart dedicated to the service of our Lord, because the wages are of high price. When we stop and consider what the Lord has to give, he has eternal rest and peace and joy. We spoke of peace here. Peace can be found while we are here upon the earth. And peace can be had. But beloved, in all eternity, do we want to really enjoy that peace? Do we want to be with the blessed in all eternity? Or will we not just care so much and suddenly discover we missed it? Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? So you see, dear ones, we want that Lord and Savior to give account. I have to picture our Lord sitting at God's right hand. And as we come before the judgment seat and the Lord sitting there, won't it be that we will want the Lord to say, yes, he served me. He did not deny me. He was willing to bear the cross. Don't we want the Lord to say to the Father, he is one of ours? And this is what he says here, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dearly beloved, the things that we have to live for are really a very, very high price and of great consequence of how we live, how we spend our time, and whether it is so that we love and fear God, or if we don't care too much and we enjoy the things that are to be had in this world and time. Beloved, if our heart is so that we love and fear God, the things on this earth really won't make all that much difference. It really won't matter too much. If a person is truly spiritually minded, he will think on those things which pertain to soul and spirit. And again, beloved, the things that, oh, they seem like they're so important here upon this earth, they may seem like they're important, and in some aspects, maybe they are. But beloved, the spiritual things should be all important. And the things that pertain to this world should not distract our attention or cause us that we should go astray or miss the point. Our Lord and our Savior, we must remember one thing in particular, that our Lord and our Savior speaks to us in a still, small voice. Beloved, and herein it causes me great fear that I miss that still, small voice somewhere along the line. In contrast, how does Satan speak? Well, Satan, he takes the form of anything that might attract the eye, the ear, or the senses. He attracts anyone in any of these various ways. And let us remember, all that glitters is not gold is an old expression. But Satan would have you think that the things that glitter here on this earth are all important, and we become attracted to these things, or distracted from the more important things which are presented to us in such a still, small way. Beloved, herein is the deception.
Satan is a deceiver, and man is so easily deceived. Who is the wise man? Who is that person that's going to give himself to the task that really is at hand? And the end result will be the redemption of his soul. Who is going to see through this?
God is faithful,
by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we must realize this. I should say, we should realize that God is faithful. And he is faithful. It's that person that has come to this when my heart is overwhelmed. That's the person that needs to come back here and read what the apostle declared to the Corinthian church, that God is faithful. Now then, he addressed this church in particular. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The Lord expects that we should be of the same mind, because there cannot be a division in the mind of Christ. The Lord has brought the Word of God, and there is only one Word of God. There is only one Christ crucified, and I think we read that too before, near the end of of our reading here. And Christ crucified. What does Christ crucified mean? Christ crucified means such a person who shall live as Christ Jesus himself lived, wherein his life he gave it. He gave it. He surrendered it. And you and I are going to have to learn that we too are going to have to surrender ours. Else we won't know what a Christ crucified really means. You hear it, people talk about it, but who has experienced it? The only person who has experienced this, who has gone through this life, and who gave up his own self. And that's why here he begins, he's now talking to a church, a group of people. And these group of people, dear ones, because they live in close proximity with one another, they must realize what he says here. He says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no other name, because the church is Christ, and he is the head of it, and we are his, and because we are his, we have been purchased by his blood, we are bound together by his Spirit, and therefore we become one, that ye speak the same thing. We can only speak the same thing if we only have the same mind. And we can only have the same mind if that mind is inspired by the same Spirit, and that Spirit of Christ. So then, beloved, we must needs see to it that we search our own soul, whether our lives are really in harmony with this Word. Because this is what brings us together and makes us one. It's this Word. This Word is not divided. This is only one Word. And if we all go by it, there can be no division. For he talks about this division. But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, if we're all of the same mind, if we all think alike, we can't judge each other, can we? No, we can't judge one another. What will we judge? If our brother thinks exactly like I do, would I judge him? What for? Or what about? There can be no judgment one of another if the mind is the same. So this is what the Apostle Paul is saying here, that we speak the same thing, but we must look into our heart to see whether or not our heart is really motivated by that one Spirit. Now, if the things that are important to us are motivated by this Spirit, then the same things will be important to everybody. When we come to church, the most important thing will be what we read in the Word. That will be the most important thing. And that most important thing that we have read in the Word or have heard this day will be the most important thing that will be on our mind in the days to come until next Sunday. And the Lord saw fit that every 7 days we should come back again to be refreshed, to be reminded. Beloved, this is godly order. And this is order that God has set into the church. And who is supposed to fulfill it? If you and I don't fulfill it, then it won't be fulfilled. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And so here they were, they were saying, well, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and they started to make a difference. Beloved, there should not be this difference, but there should be one. It's like he says, is Christ divided? No, Christ is not divided. And so for that purpose and reason, dear ones, we should set Christ the crucified before our eyes. And we poor brethren here, we won't change anything. No, we far be it from us. Oh, it would frighten us to think that we would change anything. But we shall go by the Word. And Christ the crucified is he who is the central figure, the thought, the inspiration, the living by which we live, all motivated by Christ the crucified. Now, I often have to think, dear ones, perhaps the greatest concentration of Christ's thoughts is the Sermon on the Mount. This is a grouping of the Lord's thinking, and if we all go by that, there won't be any divisions. We'll all think alike, because we use that as our motive. It's our standard. Whenever I say standard, I think of when I was in the Army. They used to fly a flag in front of us as we would march. It was the standard. That was the standard. The flag was the standard. That was when I first learned what a standard was. It represented the United States government. The standard, by the way, is the Word of God. That's the standard. That's what we go by. That's what we're following. And beloved, it's the most wonderful thing, wonderful, wonderful, that brings to us the peace that God wants us to have. That peace that God expects us to have. And he says, well, I thank God that I baptized none of you. In other words, he was thankful that they couldn't say that I am of Paul. I perhaps can realize that there are those who appreciate the brethren who did expend themselves in your behalf. I believe that. But beloved, it is the Lord. It is the Lord who brings us the gospel. It is the Lord that brings us the eternal word and life eternal. It is the Lord that is our standard bearer. It is the Lord that teaches us what we shall do to walk according to his word, that it might go well with us. And it will be an honor to the Lord God. Now, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We have to realize and know that a cross is a burden that we must bear. My burden is light. My burden is light. And so there is one, isn't there? There is a burden to be borne. Some say it's all for free. And relatively speaking, it is all for free. But beloved, the Lord expects something of us, that we expend a little energy in serving the Lord and denying ourselves and denying the world and not being ashamed of him in this world, that in being a light in this world, people see that there are people here yet who do serve him. That there is a place to go where they might find the salvation of their souls. where they might walk to and fro and wander around in this world from the day they were born until the day they go to the grave and never find a place where there's rest for the sole of their foot. But beloved, if they might see in you, dear brothers, or in me, that we do deny ourselves the pleasures and the joys of this world, and that we have something else on our mind, and that is to serve the Lord according to the cross of Christ, the cross, and let's not deny that cross, but be willing to bear it. And herein, it seems that there is a tendency on the part of some that they want to be a child of God, but they don't want to bear the cross. They want to be as the children of this world. They want to look like children of this world, and they want to do the things that the children of this world does. And they don't want to deny themselves the things that the Lord Jesus has told us in his word that we ought to deny, the pleasures and the lusts of the world. They're quite simple and easily pointed out. But these constitute the cross that the Lord expects us to bear. And you know, if we are willing cross bearers, it isn't heavy. You know, to some people, a certain load becomes so heavy, oh, I don't like that job. And they'll go get a job they like better. And I could just see that happen to so-called Christians. I don't like that job. I can go over here. I don't have to do that. But the child of God who wants to bear this cross, wants to deny himself the pleasures of the world, is not ashamed. That is the person that in the end is going to be the one who the Lord will say, come, come. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise, and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And so here he's pointing it out quite plainly, things that we know well. We really do, don't we? The wise that he's talking about here is the spiritual wise. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe and this disputer of the world? The wise in his own self. Those who attain a lot of wisdom that is gotten through the learning of books other than the Bible. They become wise in many things. But beloved, the real wisdom of the spiritual wisdom is the one that we should be interested in and make the difference. We must make the difference, dear ones. Oh, may God then provide for us that our hearts are established. And he give grace that because he established it, it shall stand in all eternity.